This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Welcome again, listeners, from wherever you are tuning in, whether it is in the car or at home. It's a privilege once again to be with you, to journey with you, and once again to have Peter Scholes with us and sharing.
Schultz.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Thank you very much, Suki. Thank you very much for being with us again, Peter, and very, very welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, Freddie.
And listeners, if you missed the previous program, be sure to catch up because Pete already spoke to us last week. So be sure to get the podcast. Frederick will give you the address at the end of the program. And Peter, maybe you just want to tell people a little bit about Mighty Wings, because you're part of Mighty Wings, a life center. You are the managing director of the center, and you've got a few branches. We spoke about that. So listeners, we're not going to go into all of that. You will just give us a little summary of what Mighty Wings is, and then we're going to talk a little more about that.
Okay, Suki, fine. Mighty Wings Life Center is a program which runs twice a week on a support group basis for both the person struggling with addiction and the family. And the purpose of that is actually to try and assist them in their natural living environments without having to take them out or remove them from the situation where they are in. Part of the training when they join the program is in terms of coping skills, in terms of decision making, in terms of taking responsibility, being accountable, and by God's guidance, restore their lives to become meaningful ways of living their lives within a family, but also within the community.
And recovered addicts that are in recovery are such wonderful people. Often they are humble. We often work with people that had come through addiction. And isn't that so, that they're just so much more productive in society in many ways when they're in recovery? What do you experience with regards to that, Peter?
Definitely so. I think that in essence, people that struggle with addiction and related behavior problems, which we perceive and experience as negative quite often, and they themselves may experience in a way as being self-destructive, is mere a way of trying to live a life in a way that is functional for them. In all the years I've worked with addiction, I've never come across a person that said, okay, fine, so I aspire to become addicted. I'm going to start using or doing A, B, and C so that I can become addicted. That does not happen. Actually, if you sit down with them, if they want to live a meaningful life, they want to be accepted, they want to be acknowledged for who they are and respected for who they are, but do not always have the means or knowledge to make this work out the way they would very much like it to.
Right. And we said last time about there's a verse that you use on your website of Mighty Wings that says, I will seek refuge in the shadow of your wings until danger passes. I just want to mention this again. It's often a long process, but it's something that gets better. It will eventually pass. If a person engages, and the theme for this month is how can we help people towards healing? If people engage in a constructive way, in a positive way, and they use the right kind of help, it will get better. Hey, danger will pass eventually. So you mentioned in the previous program, you also have a family program. Tell us a bit more about that, please.
Yes, Suti, thank you. Just looking at the program, we've learned right from the onset that addiction does not happen in isolation. Addiction always affects family. It affects everybody around us, not because we want to, but by default, that is a consequence of our addiction. So family members, and this for me has become interesting working with family, is that specifically the spouse or partner of somebody in addiction, in treatment are always perceived in an, what I refer to, an add-on capacity. So I'm either there to help my husband to go into treatment because he's got a problem, if it's a male, or once he's gone for treatment, I'm there to help him not to relapse and backslide again. So again, it becomes the family member's responsibility, and you find that they walk on eggshells all the time because maybe I do something wrong, maybe I say the wrong thing at the wrong time, whereas they actually need to be assisted as people in their own right, because they are people in their own right, and not as a part of the addiction. And that is why whatever they we do as a spouse or a partner, whether we threaten divorce, whether we threaten leaving, whether we try and plead with them, whether we cry, whether we swear at them, whether we are angry, none of these things work. And then we start doubting ourselves and start wondering, but what has God now got in store for me being married to this person or living with this person? And it brings all these things into play, which needs to be put into a context where they can understand. But my life is about me, and I have to first focus on me before I can meaningfully contribute in any relationship, whether that's with an addicted person or not.
Exactly.
Yes. I love it that what you actually were saying, but not very specifically, but that it's a holistic program. Yes. For not only the addict, but the family members and those close to the person that is suffering from addiction. And that actually brings me to the another point is there are some of the things that you have on your website that are not healthy.
Not helpful.
And not helpful, that are not helpful. Can you go through some of those points for us, please?
Okay, so Frederick, in all due respect, I don't know them off by hand or off the list, so I'm just going to speak in general terms off the cuff. So I think in a way, if we look at the defense mechanisms that people in addiction more and more bring into play to be able to continue with their addiction, the family member becomes almost more and more protective, and themselves take on more and more defense mechanisms in order to so-called help the person in his addiction, believing that, first and foremost, that if they do the right things or say the right things, then probably the addicted person will stop using or will stop doing what he's doing. And that is not helpful because, as David would say in Al-Anon groups, which we link up, and that is part of the holistic work that we do, is that we work with other support groups and other treatment facilities because we don't believe that we are the only ones that have the answer. The answer lies in between everybody and all of us working together. So what they say is that in the first place that understanding as a family member that I did not cause this addiction, I did not bring this, it's not my fault. So secondly, they have to learn that I cannot control it. So whatever I try and do will not make any dent in the addiction or the need to continue using or doing whatever I'm doing. So I cannot control it. And this is where many of our family members are stuck because they believe that if they do the right thing, they can control it, which is an approach that does not work at all. And lastly, they cannot cure it. So it's the three C's, not cause it, I can't control it, and I cannot cure it. So it's not up to them, really, even after the addicted person has gone for rehabilitation, it's not up to them. Behave, in a way that they can sustain that sobriety. That sustaining of sobriety has to come from the addicted person himself.
I'm so glad you're saying that because it's so true. Yeah. I think so many people are struggling with that for years and years. Those three C's are of utmost importance. I haven't caused it, I can't control it, and I cannot cure it. And then also something that you mentioned, some of the words that stood out to us, is that there's no quick fixes, right? There's no way to just fix this thing quickly. We're also part of many support groups, and during the course of our own recovery, the listeners know about it because we often share our story here on the program. We have spoken about multiple 12-step groups, and always refer people to the different kind of places where you can find help. But one of the things that in one of our groups we often say, addiction is baffling, powerful,
cunning.
And you also say mysterious here, right? And you also mentioned something about dry addiction. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Thank you for pointing that out, Suki, because I think we need to rephrase recovery. That is just how I would look at that. For people in addiction, we believe the issue is that they have to stop whatever they're doing or whatever they're using. Now, I don't believe that to be true altogether. Yes, that is the first step. One has to stop or refrain from doing what you've been doing. But the problem for me, or the context for me, is that once I stopped, I must not start again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not stopping my drug abuse. It's not starting again because it is going to have the same consequences. So the not starting again for me should be the emphasis rather than the stopping.
Wow, I love that.
And the reason why I say that, and that comes to your question, is that stopping cannot be a goal in and by itself. We have to change our lives. We have to replace the need to do or use with something that is more constructive and gives meaning. So in order to sustain our sobriety, we have to change the way we look at life and we live life. And this is why we believe as a Christian-based organization that Christ is the one that brings this meaning. Christ is the one that enables us to change to a life that He has called us to.
Amen.
Peter. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Peter, what you're mentioning there, I think, will take us into our next point after the break. So after the break, we'll go on to changing every part of one's life. Thank you very much. Let's have a break. Sure, thank you, and welcome back, listeners. And Peter was talking about what it means to be a dry addict or be in dry addiction. And Peter, will you continue with that, please?
Yes, very briefly. And I must try and contain myself to get carried away. So very briefly, being a dry drunk means basically that I have not yet decided to really want to not use again. I am in a situation that I'm forced not to use again, so I'm not changing my behavior. I'm still doing what we call addict behavior, but I'm not using. And therefore, it's important that our life areas need to change, because it's not only one thing to change. It's not only about stopping. It's actually recovering. It's looking at our other life areas.
Okay, just before you continue, I want to know, what do you mean by I continue with the addict behavior? Can you just explain that to the listeners?
Yes. Okay, so addict behavior means that I'm still oversensitive about issues. If I'm, for instance, struggling with alcohol abuse, then I'm very sensitive about topics and situations related to alcohol. So I would respond to that in a defensive way or in a destructive way by doing things or saying things which may be hurtful, projecting my uneasiness about the substance or alcohol use I dump it on another person and either hold that person responsible for my situation, and I still have underlying anger, which I've not dealt with, and I project that onto people around me. Dry drunk behavior means that my own unresolved issues, I blame on others.
Thank you. That was very, very well said. Okay, continue with your line of thought, please.
Okay, fine. So the life areas, if we look at our recovery, is the way we think about ourselves and other people, the way we feel about ourselves, the way we relate to other people, and the way we relate to God. Those four life areas needs to change. That needs to be placed in a context that I am happy with. Because I am not happy with myself, therefore my use of substances become functional, and it replaces my working towards happiness by doing it for me. And that is, I don't learn how to work towards my own happiness. I don't learn how to work towards my relationships, because the substances or the things I do replace this.
Okay, Peter, just before you continue, it makes so much sense what you say. But just to mention again, because we know some of the listeners that are listening struggle with process addictions. Mm. There's not always a substance. Sometimes it could be a process. It could be pornography. It could be game addiction. It could be gambling. So actually, when you talk about substance, you're also referring to those things, even though they're not physical substances, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so.
Absolutely. And it may also actually include things like work, things like exercise, things like eating. So that means that we are doing or using things to compensate for what we feel we lack inside ourselves. Mm. And therefore, the things that we become addicted to gives us the meaning that we seek, which we should seek within ourselves. And that is why it's always destructive and never brings us to a place that it is meaningfully contributing to our well-being.
Peter, what I see here is any addiction, doesn't matter what we are talking about, it robs us of intimacy. It robs us of intimacy with God, with other people, and especially with those closest to us, and also with ourselves. So
that's why the program's name is Intimacy.
And,
because we've learned that intimacy is so important, and connecting, the whole thing with connecting.
So Peter, I'd like us, we don't have much time left, but just in the little time that we have left, there's an acrostic that Mighty Wings uses. Could you just go very briefly through that acrostic and why every one of those acrostics of recovery is so important?
Yes. Okay. So the word recovery, the R-E-C-O-V-E-R-Y, the first R means restoring every area of one's life, which basically covers what we have spoken about.
Exactly.
The E means effective boundary setting. That means that we have the right to determine how we deal with our feelings, and that we don't do just to keep other people happy, but we don't allow other people to do to us just to keep them happy. But we have a right to also have an opinion, to say no or have an opinion about matters. Commitment to change means that it's an ongoing day-to-day process. It is not something that, as we said earlier, there's no quick fix to that. So we have to daily be committed to working towards our recovery. The O is the one day at a time.
Just with regards to that committed to change,
yes,
Peter, that is not only for the addict, but it's for their partners, family members, and friends
None
as well.
None of these are. All of them are for partners and families and friends and addicts, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, absolutely. Thank you for pointing that out. That is very true. And that does not only go for a partner, but it can also be a parent or a child of an adult person struggling with addiction. So the O we've done, the D is values and morals are restored, which are the things that give us purpose and context in our lives. We have rules that we live by, and that needs to be restored, because once we get caught up in addiction, our world becomes chaotic and the values and morals fall by the wayside.
Just before you continue, I think we actually skipped the O. The O is one day at a time, and that's
so important.
Yes. We've gone in this program, we've done the whole Serenity Prayer, and we actually spent a week, was it like a month or a week, on every sentence. So we've coming through, you know, we start at the beginning of the year with Trevor Hudson, and we've been working a little bit through his book, Seeking Serenity, and using that as a base. And the one day at a time is such an important concept, right? And then, okay, so you mentioned values and morals restored.
Just to support the one at a time, very much so. And even bits of a day, if that is required, but that's fine.
One moment at a time.
Yes, absolutely, Nash. Earning back trust, crucial. When we're in addiction, we become dishonest. We make promises we break continuously, even however much we want to believe that. So people do not believe us anymore. And that trust has to be regained. And that is probably the most difficult of all the aspects in our lives that need to be restored.
And I just want to say there, Peter, very important. I know the wives of addicts always struggle so much with that, because they think it's their job to trust. No. They can only trust. It's the addict's part to restore the trust. He needs to show that he's not dishonest anymore. Promises wouldn't be broken any longer. Isn't that so important? Because I know they often think, I just need to trust him again. But how can you trust if the person is not trustworthy?
But again, the only way that we can restore that is not by saying anything or convincing anybody of anything, but showing people by our day-to-day living that we have changed.
Yes.
It's the change in us that restores the trust, not what we do right and wrong all the time. But it's who we are within ourselves. And that is why going back to commitment, because all these aspects are so interrelated, is that, and coming back to the dry ground, I am not in recovery because I have to be. I am in recovery because I want to be. And that is what makes the difference, is our motivation, the attitude which underlies the reason why we are in recovery, that is extremely important. And that is what eventually will help earn back the trust, because people see through us anyway. We think they don't, they do. So, specifically close family members. Reintegration, coming to the second R, into recovery lifestyle, I think that speaks for itself. We've covered that. Your recovery, it's nobody else's recovery. People in addiction are selfish because they have to be so that they can continue. But by the same token, people in recovery must be selfish to that extent that they don't allow other aspects of their lives to interfere with their recovery. So I would always want to call it a justified selfishness, that it is your recovery. You have to work at it. You are responsible for it. So don't allow other people or other things to distract you from your recovery. You are the only one that can sustain your recovery, nobody else.
Wonderful. Wow. You summarized it so well. So, listeners, we invite you to go to the website of Mighty Wings. If you want to check any of this out, the information is there. And then people can contact Mighty Wings. You can look it up on the internet, or you can contact Radio Pulpit. They will give you the information. Thank you so much, Peter. It's been such a joy to talk to you. Very informative on how we can help people struggling with addictions in healthy ways, and specifically also then for friends, family, partners of addicts.
Yes, thank you very much, Peter. And listeners, if you've perhaps tuned in late in this broadcast, get back to the podcast and at Cape Pulpit, and look up Into Me See and download the podcast, listen, send it to a friend that you think needs to hear it. And yeah, keep in contact with us through email at fredericksookie@kpulpit.co.za, and we'd love to connect with you. And see you next week. Thank you.
God bless.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.